Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Afraid to take a chance, you better hide your belly, get out while you can, cause you'll be going loco, down in Acapulco.
I was out at Bomberito this weekend, and if you go to that Bomberito Ellisville store, they have more good-looking Audis, used cars to look at than any lot, I think, in St. Louis. There are a gazillion locations, 20 new ones, 9 pre-owned. But that one in Ellisville, man, do they have a really cool used car selection. Go to bomberito.com, search through their extensive inventory, and you will get an incredible deal. Brian, okay, so Martin, there's a story on ESPN about the Texas Tech bettor. He was offered $125,000 online for the ticket and said no.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. He also has money on Virginia, so he's winning something.
So he is clearly an older, wealthier Charlie Marlowe. He's somebody who's got money all over the place. He's a gambler.
You don't think Charlie's got some hidden money and he's some old money?
Well, he's sort of becoming a blue blood. By the way, he's vacationing this week in some...
Where is he?
Exotic... You know what? I don't even know... It's not Tahiti, it's not Jamaica, but he and the lovely Jess are getting away for the week. The his mother is in town doing a little babysitting. I don't know. They went somewhere Caribbean. I'm not positive.
Oh, good for him.
Got away. I don't know, but I think he probably said it on the air, and I should have been listening, to be fair. You know, Bruce Pearl may not be our favorite guy, but he did handle the non-call on the double dribble pretty well, and even this morning was making the rounds and said, listen, you got to get over it. Players make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. It's something you got to deal with. So he isn't walking around whining and crying about, which I give him credit. But the second that happened, and Virginia had the stunning comeback on Auburn, did any part of you think, well, Bruce Pearl, I'm sorry. A little bit of karma, because nobody really likes Bruce Pearl.
Except Charles Barkley.
So maybe it's karma. I don't know. But as a fan base, you're up by 4 with, 5 seconds to go, or whatever the math was on it. I mean, stunning that Virginia got the breaks. I think don't you think the last one was a foul on the 3?
Oh, there's no question.
That was a foul.
Yeah,
you had to call
that. I know
that.
There's a lot of people say, oh, you don't call. No, the guy is a jump shooter, and he got hip checked while he was in the air. And, you know, God bless that player, Darty, but you just can't do that. You don't foul the jump. First of all, you don't foul a three-point shooter ever. And then secondly, you don't do it when there's, 0.6 seconds left on the clock.
I didn't think there was any doubt that it was a foul. The only thing that could have worked is the idea that they swallowed their whistles or that they're not going to make that call at that moment. But it was definitely a foul. And then lost in it, and you mentioned it in the 10 o'clock hour, the guy still got to make the free throws.
Yeah.
That's still pretty
Kyle
gutsy.
Kyle Guy.
Steps to the line and makes all 3. You mentioned Ramil Robinson. Rarely in Final Four history do you think of like just huge free throws. I mean, Ramil Robinson was one of the first ones that came to mind for me.
And ironically, the next day, the Notre Dame player misses in her national championship
game. And then on the second one, she tried to miss it. So they could possibly get the rebound and put it up and in, and instead the second one goes in. What are the odds of that? You tried to make the first one, missed, and now you try to miss the second one, and it goes in. Baylor wins, and it's the Lady Bears, and they announce that they are the Lady. They go by that. But most times, if you say that now, you get yelled at.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And, for example, the Billiken women are just the Billikens. They are not the Lady Billikens. That's officially their stance, and if you say it, they'll correct you. Yet Baylor wins, and everybody's like, the Lady Bears, all these female announcers, the Lady Bears. So sometimes it's not appropriate, and sometimes it is.
That Kim Mulkey, it's kind of cool, too. I like her, and boy, she was just really just overwhelmed with emotion because she had won the national title, but her star player carted off in a wheelchair, and boy, that was something else. That was great theater last night.
I did want to see Nafisa Collier play in that game, and that's the disappointment.
Yeah.
But it plays out perfectly. You have the 2 games for the women on Friday, the 2 men's games, the national semis on Saturday, then the championship for the women on a Sunday. followed by Monday night. I think the way they've bracketed around each other is perfect.
Somebody suggesting or asking, you think Goodwin makes all three there, Frank? Be a tough call.
Too soon. Too soon.
You should get Jerry Pollard on the line to discuss the officiating. He lives in town. Jerry, one of the best officials in the country.
I think we need to give some credit also to the Auburn kid who was, after the game, after a round of interviews, literally stood up there and apparently said, anybody got any other questions? I'll keep going. I'll keep going if you need me.
He
owned it in the locker room, and that's impressive because, I mean, you literally on national television just, you know, kind of hurt your team, and you just stood in there and taking it. That was impressive.
And then you're a college kid. It's one thing. Your team loses national semis. It's kind of a bummer, but it's like the Chris Webber moment where you don't want to be the guy that everyone associates with.
Yeah.
Hey, remember that year we got to the Final Four? God, that was great, wasn't it? And it's like, remember what happened? Oh, yeah, you were the guy who filed. That's really hard when you're that age and you're associated not with just the team loses, but you're sort of the guy.
Poor Chris Webber.
How about Rick Barnes possibly headed to UCLA? I was thinking about this last night. How many coaches have coached in so many dramatically different regions? I mean, you go from Texas to Tennessee to UCLA. I mean, usually sometimes they say, hey, you got to make sure you stay in your kind of recruiting region where you kind of know the area and the coaches and everything.
Right. Providence before Texas?
Providence, yep.
So kind of East Coast, totally different vibe up there in Rhode Island. Texas, very different vibe. Tennessee, UCLA, that's a real wine and cheese crowd, real ritzy crowd. I don't know. Maybe it has to do with expectation level and fan base in Tennessee.
Well, I'll tell you what. The cupboard, I think, is kind of bare right now. I mean, they're losing all those really good players, those fourth and fifth-year seniors. And I think UCLA actually has some talent there. Is Shaquille O'Neal's son going to play?
Sharif O'Neal, I think, is going to play.
Yeah. So,
you know who's got a kid who's not highly recruited or highly regarded, but Dwayne Wade has a son down in Miami. And when they retired his number, they had a big day at Marquette for Dwayne Wade, and he's back there, and the kid's with him. And I'm watching the ceremony, and he and this kid are just hanging out all over the court. Wouldn't you offer him, if he's a famous alum, just to have the all-time association, just to make sure he always comes back, gives back, wouldn't you get that kid's a spot somewhere on the bench?
Well, that's exactly what North Carolina did with Kenny Smith's son.
Is he riding the bench?
At North Carolina, yeah. Can't play.
Little Sharif O'Neal update. He tweeted 3 days ago that he's lost 31 pounds due to the heart surgery. He's back to 209 now, and he says he's about 6 weeks away from return to the court.
Okay, good. And would he be a freshman next year? I imagine he gets a redshirt.
Yeah, redshirt freshman.
Yeah, how big? 6?
He's 6'9", and he just turned 19 in January.
Wow. And part of it could be conference-driven. You look at the Pac-12, you could maybe get it going quicker than an SEC that is getting harder every single year.
How about Musselman joining the conference? All he's done is win like 90 games in 3 years. He went to 3 straight NCAAs in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you've added Musselman at Arkansas, Buzz Williams at Texas A&M, guys who've got recent resumes, track record. The SEC's not getting any easier, and I don't think the expectations from Rocky Top are going to drop anytime soon. So that might be part of it, like, chance to win in the next couple of years and keeping that fan base happy. Plus, you could live in L.A. You know who was always on Rick Barnes? Was Matt Stedman. Remember the old board op, Matt?
Yeah, why?
He always said Rick Barnes will let you down. His teams will always disappoint. And so Texas would usually have a decent seed, and they would bow out.
In fairness to Stedman, he had Kevin Durant and was running just a Neolithic offense. Just boring. No movement. That was pathetic what he was doing with Durant.
I tell you what, I liked the
Durant offense. Was incredible, but
I liked the offense they ran for the last couple of years in Tennessee.
That's true.
But the way they shared the ball and had good ball movement, spacing.
But I would get these texts every year when Texas would bow out, whether I was working at 590 or not, from Stedman, they would say, Rick Barnes, buddy, I haven't talked to Matt Stedman in a couple of years. When Tennessee lost, and they were Sweet 16.
Are you kidding?
Right?
He texted this
time? He sent me a text that said, Rick Barnes, buddy. At least, I got to say, at least he's consistent.
Well, he was a game away. I mean,
it was a really good run. It's not like let's see, here we go. Friday, March 29th. Just a reminder, Rick Barnes. I said, hi, I've been waiting for this. Hope you're well.
You know, it's amazing, too, how a victory or a loss in the NCAA tournament can shape the perception of a man. You know what I mean? Or of a coach. Or it can change your whole career. If you're at one of these mid-majors and all of a sudden you win your conference tournament and you get to the Sweet 16 and you're the hot guy and you get to a Big Five school and you make $20 million.
Wow, coming after Shaka Smart right there, aren't you, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit of a sustained run, though. It'd be like, he didn't just win and get out.
No,
he stayed for a while. Stan Heath is probably the best example of just jumping while you...
30?
I think at Kent State, they got to the Elite Eight. And everybody's like, wow, how about this Stan Heath guy? And then he got the Arkansas job. There's a couple of those, the Florida International guy, the guy that went to USC.
USC, and that
oh,
Florida.
God, he was terrible.
Gulf Coast.
Andy, Florida Gulf Coast.
He had the
Andy
one
Enfield.
First season, 30-6 at Kent State, and then immediately.
You're talking about
Heath.
Stan Heath.
Yeah, Stan Heath. And then immediately wins 9, 12, 18 games at Arkansas before getting him above 500 and going to the tournament.
Remember, Konzo was feeling the heat at Tennessee, and then they made their run.
Yeah, and then he kind of...
got out while he could.
That was a good move. Yeah. Andy Enfield at USC.
And he's still at USC, right?
Yeah. He sent his congratulations this weekend to Paul Westfall on joining the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I think Stan Heath is probably the poster child. But there's always... I mean, I think John Gross got the Illinois job because he made some noise with... Was he Ohio U or was he Miami? I forget now where he was.
And then there's people that stay like at Wichita State. I guess you could make a case. It's his home and he makes a ton of money. And
I think he still owns that town, which is probably what he... I don't think Greg Marshall could go to a football school and kind of play second fiddle. Don't you think he needed to stay there just because
he does?
He's the man. He kind of runs the show.
Yeah. I mean, he probably wouldn't be easy to live with.
He got some huge raises, didn't he?
Right.
He's getting paid legitimate.
He was a candidate for like two jobs.
He's getting
every
paid
year.
Legitimate money now.
Absolutely. I think the Wichita State boosters, whoever those folks happen to be, have paid up big time over the years. I mean, I think he's over $2 million a year.
Yeah.
And when he was in the Valley, he was probably pushing two a year.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of.
You know, as soon as that Rick Barnes thing started to break, I mentioned it earlier that I got a couple of texts. Hey, what about Travis with his SEC roots, Kentucky close to Tennessee? Why wouldn't they want to go after a guy that just won 23 games, that's got a big name and an SEC big name? And then I talked to a member of the Ford family, and they said, that's not happening.
I don't know how appealing that is.
You know, that's a football school, too.
Yeah, and then it used to be football, women's basketball, men's basketball.
Yeah.
It used to be third in the pecking order. If you were Travis Ford, would that even appeal to you in any way?
No. I want to live in my magnificent home and let my two kids graduate from the high schools they're at here and win 25 games the next couple of years each. Hey, I'll tell you what, he's telling people too, and he's coached two or three. He coached Evans, who's in the NBA. I don't think I really consider Marcus Smart a point guard, but he's telling people he's the best point guard, Yuri Collins, that he's ever recruited. So,
boy, they need that desperately.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, what else here? Brian, do we have any business to attend? What about the Cardinals?
Well, Frank, I want to mention that the first homestand is still ongoing for the Cardinals. Let's do that actually next segment. I need to pull out the copy.
By the way, and I should remind everybody, it is a 6:45 start the next three nights. This is part of their initiative to get people home earlier during the school year. So I don't mind that.
The weekend, April 19th through the 21st, great giveaways against Mets all weekend long, including the new Blue Road Alternative jersey. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions. The St. Louis Cardinals, time to fly. Mets aren't half bad this year either. They're actually hitting the ball fairly well.
Hey, Lakeside's a good sponsor. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Please find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Martin, would you rather face the Winnipeg Jets or the Nashville Predators?
I mean, I think selfishly I like the Predators because of the proximity for coverage.
$2,000 flight to Winnipeg, by the way. I checked.
Proximity of...
$2,000.
You know, this is how...
Don't flights cost more if you... People like usually like want to go there like tourist traps and things like that.
What the hell's Winnipeg going on there? Winnipeg to be giving away for free?
Yeah, you think if you want, like, come on, give us some
commerce.
Come on, like especially if it's not yet like, you know, July.
Last week, Charlie Marlowe is like, dude, I'll drive. I'm like, what?
Drive?
It's to Winnipeg? 16 hours. And he goes, wouldn't that be fun? I'm like, no.
No.
Doesn't sound like. We're going to talk to the Jets play-by-play man when we come back, a preview. And to answer Frank's question, I think actually the Jets is a better matchup because you avoid Pecorine. But it's going to be tough. We'll talk to the folks in Winnipeg when we come back. Hollywood Casino Press Box here on 590 The Fan.